All right, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 4 if you've brought your Bibles today. And we're going to start a new series today, and we're going to get into talking about living like you're loved. And that was the song that we heard at the start of service today. If you want to know who sings that song, it's Hawk Nelson is his name. Powerful song. I heard that this week. And during a time where I was telling my dad this morning, this message is for me. I'm preaching to myself this morning, teaching to myself, because a lot of times we know that God is love, right? I mean, if you grew up in church, you grew up in the Bible Belt, you've been to Sunday school, you've been to children's camps and stuff like that, everybody knows that God is love, and everybody believes that. The Scripture tells us that. But, and then we also know this, we know that God loves me or God loves you. So look at somebody and say, God loves you. And we give mental assent to that. We know that up here, but we don't really have it down in here. A lot of people, a lot of Christians don't. We say, yeah, God loves me, but then we counteract that with way we behave and different things like that, and we don't act like we're loved. So here's the deal. We're going to start living like we're loved. Look at somebody and say, you need to live like it. You need to live like it. All right, 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7 through 16, I've got them up here on PowerPoint, says, Dear friends, and I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. This is the Apostle John talking. John, I just want to give you a little background about John that you probably haven't really, I knew this, but it really didn't sink in and kind of gave me a new revelation. John, and Taya just sang about that, about leaning on the chest of Jesus. That's what says that John did at the Last Supper. He was that close to Jesus. He was one of the inner three, one of the closest, Peter, James, and John. John was very close to Jesus. He had a revelation that the other disciples, I believe, that didn't have, but he had a revelation of God's love for him through Jesus, through the Son of God. Just to give you a little backdrop about John some more. He was the only apostle, the only disciple, I should say, at that time that didn't leave Jesus' side at the cross. He stayed there through it all. Here's another thing that's very interesting, because he had this revelation of love. He lived. He was the one that wrote the book of Revelation. He lived out his whole life. And I'm not saying that we die prematurely if we don't know the love of God. I'm not saying that. But I'm just giving you some background about this man, that he had a revelation of God's love. Not only that God, you know, God is love, but he had a revelation that God loves me very deeply down in here, not just up here, but in here. And if you'll read the book of John, the first John, second John, third John, he's constantly talking about the love of God, which I think is pretty cool. And I really believe in these last days before Jesus comes, that's the revelation that the body of Christ is really going to get, is that God loves me. God loves me. And so let's pick this up in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. He's writing to us today. He says, Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Everybody say, God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Okay, then in verse 11 it says, Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. And then verse 16 says, We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Now, I want you to think about this. God has faith, but he is love. God has joy, but he is love. Love is the expression of God. God is love. He is love. Look at somebody and say that again. God is love. People need this revelation. We're going to be on this maybe all summer long. I don't know. But Jesus, what this scripture is telling us that we just read, Jesus was the gift to the world, God's gift to the world. The Holy Spirit, who is here with us today, was God's gift to the church, to us as believers, as his sons and daughters. Now, I don't know about you, but here lately, I have my feelings, my emotions have been under a lot of pressure. Anybody with me? Been under a lot of pressure. And and what I found out, and I heard that song that I played this morning. I heard it this week when I was driving in my vehicle. And I was driving down the road, and God told me, said, Mark, do you believe that I love you? I was like, yeah, God, you know, yeah. And he said, no, you're mental assenting that. Yeah, you've been walking with me for quite a while now, but you're mental assenting that. You're going through some things right now that the enemy is trying to lie to you that I don't love you because of different things that are going on. And I'm not going to get into all that because that's between me and God. But I know that many people live like that, and I've been battling those thoughts. Anybody ever battled those thoughts? I have. I was battling this week, and I was driving down the road, and God told me, he said, Mark, I love you, and I'm going to take care of everything, but you've got to trust my love, son. And I was like, well, I do, God. And he's like, no, you don't. You're giving mental assent to it, but it's not down in here. You really got to trust my love for you. And even when I don't show up when you think I ought to, you know, and because I'm like, God, you had many opportunity to show up and show me how much you love me. And he's like, Mark, I got it all under control. And I'm going to take care of you. You just got to trust me. So here's what I'm telling you. When your feelings and emotions are under pressure, your true belief is revealed. And so what I'm going to do today, this is what we're going to start off with in this message today. And you might, if you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin, I want you to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. I'm going to give you 6 points today. We're going to look at 6 things today. And these are actually what they are 6 signs you're not really trusting in the love of God. 6 signs that you're really not trusting in the love of God. 6 signs that you're really not trusting in the love of God. Because you got to know this, because when we're not trusting in the love of God, then we're not living like we're loved. And you're loved. You are so valuable to God that he sent his son, Jesus, to die for you. That's how much you're loved. But here's number one, and I want you to, they're going to be on PowerPoint, and we're going to go through all these today. Number one, the first sign that you can tell that you're really not trusting the love of God. And I'm going to tell you, I had to say yes that I'm living like this with all 6. So just so you know, your pastor is learning this too, and I'm preaching to myself today and teaching myself. But first of all, you blame God during challenges. Ever been there and done that? And when we do that, I want you to write this down under number one. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures that we're going to look at too. When we do that, and I have done that, but when we do that, we are really not trusting in the love of God for ourselves. We're not. And we're also what the Bible calls in the King James Version, we're living double-minded. 1 foot in God, 1 foot in the world. Or 1 foot in God, 1 foot in us. You know, we're our own God. And so, and I'm going to show you a scripture. We just read this, part of this was when Jesus was, part of it was walking on the water, what we just saw that little video. But Mark chapter 4, verses 38 through 40, it says, Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Okay, I just want you to get Jesus. And I was like, okay, this is what I feel like God is doing in my life right now. He is asleep on a pillow somewhere. But here's what God showed me. He said, but Mark, I'm right there with you. I'm chilled out, Mark. I'm not fretting and worrying about what's going on in your life right now because I've got it all under control, but you're acting like I don't. and I'm at perfect rest. God's always at perfect rest. And so it says the disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care?" There it is. "Don't you care that we're going to drown?" And when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked him, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And so what Jesus was rebuking in his disciples, and it's not, I don't want it to sound like that he's getting on to us today, but Jesus is saying, guys, I do care. I do care. Every one of you have needs in here today, and God cares. Look at somebody and say, God cares for you. God cares for you. But what Jesus was teaching them, guys, you can't be double-minded. I'm with you all the time, and when Jesus went to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us all the time. But here's the deal. If they really understood his love for them, number one, Jesus is with you at all times. I don't care. We're not just at church, but all the time. Jesus is with you all the time. And then the second thing, the storm was no problem for him to handle. Whatever you're going through today is no problem with God if you'll really trust in his love for you. And everybody said amen. Okay. Now we're going to look at this. I want to show you this again. This is what was going on in the disciples in James chapter 1. Verses 2 through 8 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking." Then in verse 6 says, "But when you ask him, be sure," this is a big one, "be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty," and that means double-mindedness, "is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do." And guys, we can't live like that. We got to live like we're loved. Look at somebody and say, live like you're loved. The love of this world is not for us. The sixth sign, we're of the world, but we're not in it. Six signs you're not really trusting in the love of God. And here's number two, you blame your lack of faith on your humanity. And what I mean by that is you walk around and say, well, you know, God knows, and I'm only human. You know, I'm only human. God knows my downfalls and everything, and I'm just only human. And I want to tell you something. If you know Jesus, and guys, this is something I'm telling you, this message is for me this morning. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're more than a human being. You have something, guys, that the prophets, everybody in the Old Testament wanted what we have today. You actually have God Almighty living within you. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I love this scripture. Look at somebody say, you're a masterpiece. Okay, Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus," which means you're a new creation, you're a new creature, you're not just human, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And this was something Jesus prayed about, and this was in John chapter 17, verses 20 through 24. Jesus says, "I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message." That's us this morning. "I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me. Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one." Guys, that's a mouthful right there. That's shouting stuff there. Verse 23 says, "I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began." Guys, what Jesus is basically saying, he is praying for us today to get this revelation that God loves me and God lives in me. and God lives in me. The God living in you today, guys, it's a miracle that God is living in on the inside of you. Look at somebody and say, you're a miracle. You got to know that. All right, here's number three. Here's number three. The six signs you're not really trusting in the love of God. You allow fear into your life. It's a big one. You allow fear into your life. The spirit of fear, guys, stumbles us a lot, and we don't even, some of us have lived, God's been showing me this in my own life. You've lived so long under a spirit of fear, you think it's normal, and it's not normal. It's abnormal. We're not supposed to live under fear. I'm just going to say this, and I know this is going to sound kind of strong, but if you allow fear into your life, then you are denying God's love for you. I'm going to say that again. If you allow fear into your life, then you're denying God's love for you. And you're going to have to retrain your brain to know up here that God, and so that it gets down in here too, that God loves me. And 1 John 4:18 says, such love has no fear because perfect love expels fear. God's love casts out fear, is what the King James Version says. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. If Jesus himself walked through those doors right now and you're not running to him to worship him and fall at his feet, but you're wanting to, I got to get out of here. I've just been exposed. I'm going to run out this exit door over here and get away from Jesus, then you're not perfect in his love. God wants that embrace. He doesn't want you running from him. Some of you had parents that you were afraid of. You know? And really, guys, I'm telling you, I know we're, and my dad's sitting on the front row right now. And, even though we're laughing about it, but guys, we really do. We take what was in the natural, you know, our parents really are the number one thing in our lives that, you know, look like God does, where we think that's the way God acts towards us. Guys, God loves you. And God doesn't want to punish you, and God's not mad at you. God doesn't want to bust your butt. God wants to love you, okay? I mean, that's a way a lot of us live. Some of us, you know, there's some of you in here, and I know my dad's laughing, and me and him have talked about this, but some of us grew up in abusive homes, and then we think God's like that. No, God's not like that. You know, God is love, and we've got to get that revelation. And so, you know, thank God for some of you in here that was raised in great homes and had that kind of love. Some of you in here weren't. But so that's more of that training your brain, renewing your mind, renewing your, knowing that, hey, God loves me, and you got to get it down in here too. God wants to love on you. Here's number four, and this is a big one. And I was talking about my dad being on the front row. Dad, I'm pointing you out this morning. But my dad calls me at least once or twice a week, and he's preaching to me all the time. And he's like, Mark, I wish I'd have got this back whenever I first came to know the Lord. I wish, but I had, and I'm going to say this, and it's going to go on the radio and everywhere, and bad teaching. I mean, my dad was raised in an environment where God's out to get you, and if you screw up, God's going to punish you and all that, and that's not God, guys. That's not our Heavenly Father. And this is one of the revelations that my dad and I talk about a lot, is the fourth sign that you're not really trusting in the love of God is you deny your right, and I'm going to explain that. Jesus, because of what Jesus did at the cross for you, he made you righteous. Jesus' blood makes you righteous. And so you are righteous in Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus is what the Bible says. But what happens is because we don't feel righteous, we start denying that right. And guys, it's like it was, he did it for us. And you've got to accept that by faith and walk in that and live like you're loved. Live like you're righteous. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that's not cocky or arrogant. It's all pointing to him, giving him the glory for what he's did for me. And if we don't live like that, we're living below our rights. And we're actually denying the love of God. Everybody see that? Man, it's powerful, guys. This righteousness deal. And then you're like, okay, well, what if we mess up? Hey, been there, done that, got the T-shirt and the cap. And I've still messed up, even after I've came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I don't live perfect. There's days that how many of you had a bad day? You know, and here's what I love about God. 1 John 2:1, New Living Translation says, "My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous." He says, "I'm standing in your place when you mess up. Every time you mess up, it's okay. I've got it covered." He's got it covered from here to all eternity for you. You cannot not mess this thing up, guys, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Man, that's good, guys. That's good. I can't mess it up. The Holy Spirit won't let me. Here's number five. When you live in the love of God and live like you're loved, guys, you're going to want to obey God. It's not that I'm doing this because fire insurance, I don't want to go to hell. I'm doing this because I love God, and it's easy. The reason why it's hard for some people to live for the Lord is because they don't have a revelation of His love. They're not living like they're loved. Okay, here's number five. Sixth sign you're not really trusting in the love of God, you embrace hate and unforgiveness. Guys, I know I've had things done to me, said about me, done wrong, even in church, even by church people, but we cannot walk in hate and unforgiveness. And I'm trying to get better at it where I let it go as quickly as I can. I let it go. But I've realized I can't do it in my own power. I've got to have the Holy Spirit's help to help me walk in peace with everyone. Because, and it's not about them, it's about me. I want to keep this connection correct with God. And here's what the scripture says, that if we walk in hate and unforgiveness, then we are blind and we have unleashed hell. Don't want to live like that, guys. And this is in 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. It says, "If anyone claims I am living in the light but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. And anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness." I don't want to live like that. So I want to be quick to get rid of the hate, quick to be forgiving. Look at somebody and say, "You got to be quick to forgive." And if you're married in here, you know what I'm talking about. Let it go. It's not worth it. All right, here's number six. It's not worth being right sometimes. Give up your right. Yeah, Taya's taking notes over there. Six signs you're not really trusting the love of God and I could go on. I know there's more signs, but these are the top six, is you give in to reckless words. And I'm going to explain that, and I'm going to look at something that Jesus said in John 14, verse 10. He says, "The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me." And so Jesus was even saying that when he was here, even though he was fully human and fully God, he was like, "I had to learn to speak what I heard my Father saying and not what I wanted to speak." And there was times he kept his mouth shut. Sometimes we need the spirit of shut up to come upon us. Amen. And not speak. Amen. I saw some elbows flying in some places around here. But here's what I mean by reckless words, and I'll explain it. Reckless words lead to double-mindedness, fear, unforgiveness, and turning against God. And I'm going to give you a few examples here. "God loves me, but maybe he wants me sick." That's a reckless word. God don't want anybody sick, okay? So you got to get that revelation. "God loves me, but maybe he wants me poor." No, God wants you blessed, and here's the reason why he wants you to bless, not so you just squander it on yourself. He wants you to live, pay your bills and do those kind, but he wants to bless you to be a blessing to someone else. He doesn't want you to be poor. Here's another one. "God loves me, but maybe he's mad at me because I haven't done this." I was just thinking, people pray for, sporting events all the time. And, and I've said this before, you pray, Clark sent me a message the other day, and him and Caden were playing in the golf tournament, and he said, "Hey, pray for us. We're in this golf tournament." I'm like, "Win the money, buddy. Bring the tithe to the church. I'm praying golf blessings over you." And I asked him how it went, and he said, "Well, we were leading, and then in just a little bit, right at the end of the whole deal, the whole game fell apart." If you've ever played golf, you know, you've been there, done that, and I've got the T-shirt and cap on that. Now, here's the deal. I prayed for him. I know Clark and Caden probably prayed, too, for their golf game. But that because their game fell apart doesn't mean that God don't love them. And I'm serious, guys. There's people that believe that. There's people that pray that I'm going to win this game. I'm going to go win this baseball game. I'm going to go 4-for-4 today. And then they come back and they're 0-for-4 and they made a couple errors and they're like, "Oh, God doesn't love me." And I'm like, "No, God loves you. God loves you." It's amazing how people connect those, you know, or "I had a flat tire going to work. God hates me. God hates me." And there's people that I've had people, and I've literally had to, as a pastor, talk people off the cliff with stuff like that. And I know we're laughing about it, but it's the truth. You can see it in your own family sometimes. And here this week, I was doing it to myself. You know, "God don't love me. I'm talking myself off the cliff," you know. And guys, that's where we've got to retrain this, our mind. And when I say this, I'm talking our whole body, our whole being, that God loves me and God's not out to get me. God is actually wanting to set me up for success and wants me to be blessed. And because this didn't work or this didn't work out, take a different perspective about it and say, "Well, you know, God, you're good anyway." You know, I talked to you, I see Donita sitting out here, and I told you about Donita last week. I called her up and I was thinking, "Oh my gosh, you know, what she's been through," and I called her up and she blessed me. She built my faith up. She had the right perspective. Yeah. Terry and the Lord are up there and they just said, "We're just going to clean out our closet right now so Donita doesn't have to do it." And then bless her in the process. And so, you know, guys, God is good. It's all how you look at it. It's all how you look at it. But don't blame God. I can sit up here and tell you all kinds of things that's happened to me in ministry, in life, and I can see some of you out here that's had similar things happen. But guys, God didn't cause it. God loves me. We live in a fallen world. We sure do, and it's not perfect. Heaven's perfect. When we get there, it's all going to be perfect. But right now, we've got to put our faith in God and know that He is good, and He's a good God all the time, and that He loves me. He loves me. He's not out to get me. So your mind's got to must be renewed and retrained. And I just want you to look at somebody that's sitting there next to you and say, "God is love, and He loves you." All right, now I want you to say this to yourself. God is love, and He loves me. And maybe you need to get up every day and look in your mirror and have a talk yourself off the cliff, and say, "God is love, and God loves me. And everything is going to work out because God does care for me." Amen. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I want to lead you in a prayer of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I never take this for granted because of the people. We always have different people here every Sunday. And then we have, you know, people that are watching by Church's Aid. This is also going to be broadcast on the radio, and so I never take it for granted because I want to have the honor and privilege of leading you in what I call the prayer of salvation. This is accepting Jesus. You're actually accepting God's offer of love through His Son, Jesus. And so I want to lead you in this prayer, and even if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, "Lord Jesus, I need You in my life. I believe You are the Son of God. And You died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear Your voice. I accept You as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank You for saving me. Amen." God is good and all the time. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, your very next step is to follow the Lord in water baptism, and we can do that next Sunday. If you'd like to do that, so get with me, and we can do that. I want everyone to stand in here this morning, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you. And then when we leave here today, I want you, this is National Hug Day. Patricia told me that. You can Google that later because it is. So I want you to give somebody a hug before you leave. And like I said, and if it's your spouse, you can give them a sloppy, wet kiss like Taya sang about earlier. But I always love to speak a blessing over us, so let's do that. Father, we thank you and praise you for this day. Lord, I thank you that people here today are being perfected in your love, that fear is being cast out. God, when they recognize these signs that come up in their lives, because, Lord, we live in a fallen world and we have an enemy. But, God, we're going to just declare that, no, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm a son or daughter of the Most High God, and I am loved. I am loved. And so, God, we're going to live like we're loved. We're going to live that way because we are. And so, Lord, I just thank you that this revelation, it's not just going to be head knowledge. It's going to be heart knowledge. It's going to be life knowledge. God, that we're going to go out of here today and we're going to start implementing this in our lives. And people are going to truly see the love of Jesus in us because we're going to start living like we're loved. And we thank you for that. And we're going to start loving others the way that you love them. And Father, we thank you and praise you for this revelation that's going forth today in Jesus' name. God, I just want to speak a blessing over your people today, that they go out of here, that they came in with blessings and they're going to leave with blessings today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Give somebody a hug.